Sponzorem této epizody je sázková kancelář Betano. Ahoj Spartani a Spartanky, vítám vás u další epizody podcastu Spartanských novin. Tentokrát je to takzvaný dánský speciál, protože od studia vás nezdravím jenom já, Michal Durčák, můj kamarád a kolega Vítěz Tudler.
Ahoj Michal.
Ale i dánští hráči AC Sparta Praha Asgen Sørensen. Hi Asger.
Hi.
A golmanská jednička Sparty Petr Vindal. Hi Peter.
Hello.
Jako vždycky, tuhleto epizodu najdete na všech sociálních platformách, až je to Spotify, Apple Podcasty, YouTube, a celou epizodu pak najdete na našem Hero, konkrétně na adrese herohero.co/spartianske noviny. Díky moc, že nás podporujete, bez téhle podpory by žádné podcasty nevznikaly. A teď už přepneme do angličtiny, aby nám kluci rozuměli.
Yeah, let's switch to English.
Yeah, let's switch into the English. Wanna start, Vítěz?
Yeah, sure. We are right in the middle of the international break. Did you watch the game of Denmark against Slovenia?
Yeah, I was actually in the stadium. Father-in-law, he got some extra tickets, so yeah, we are lucky enough to be in the stadium watching the game.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Asgar?
Yes, I watched it with some friends. We ate it a little bit, and yeah. So we saw it in the television. Mm-hmm. So it was also very nice.
You had to refuel with the friends, and
yes, get some new fresh energy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Will you guys? If I assume you won't get nominated, try to go to the Euro Games to Germany. It's quite not far away.
Probably not. I think if I'm not selected, and let's be honest, like the most likely I won't be. But yeah, then I'll probably be on a beach somewhere warm.
And you, Asgar?
Yes, probably also. I don't think it's difficult to come into the national team Denmark. We have a very good squad. And yeah, now they made it to the Euros, and I think a lot of players who played the qualification will also join to the Germany. And yeah, I also just relax, taking some sun somewhere. Good weather.
Yeah, we still hope Kasper Hjulmand is watching you. Both of you, because at this level, he certainly has a whole pool of players to watch. So we as Sparta fans, we hope that we will see you in Germany next year.
Yeah, it would be nice. It's a dream. I think I can speak for both of us. It's a big dream to play. You were one time on the
two times
on the national team, and I think for me it would be a very big dream. Yeah,
mm-hmm. But no minutes yet. If I'm
no,
right.
No minutes, but yeah. two selections. Yeah. I think six game on the bench.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was quite an experience.
Okay.
When we come to the Danish football, I know that Brian Lars and others, member of the Danish staff, are watching the Danish Super League. Are you guys watching the Danish Super League as well?
Yeah, I mean, the FC Nordsjælland, I played there for 6.5 years, so of course I watched them a lot. And then we have this fantasy with the Danish Super League, and currently I'm number 3 in the whole game, so yeah, I'm quite the focused on the Danish Superliga.
Yeah.
Are you playing guys fantasy together or?
Yes, I also play this. I'm not at the level like Peter, but I am following it also. And I think like the rest of the coaching staff also have like, I think they always bet like for the results, like what the results in the weekend will end. So we are following the Danish Superliga also tight.
Okay. If not Mr. Hjulmand, I think the man who will rely on both of you is Brian Priske. Does it make any difference in any aspect for you to work with this semi-Danish coaching staff? Or is it like every other coach that you had in Germany or in Netherlands, for example?
I think the fact that he's Danish is not the main thing, but you can say there's something about the culture, about how we usually do things in Denmark that Brian and the other coaches, they also do this the same way. And yeah, I think it's more like that the way they do things is familiar.
Yeah.
But yeah, besides from that, you know, every coach is different and have their own philosophy and the way they want to do things. But of course, there's some things that seems familiar in terms of being Danish and these kind of things.
Yes, for me it was a special thing to come back to a Danish coach, because I was abroad for 8-9 years, and then I had like different coaches from different countries. So to come back to this like Danish culture, also because I had Brian, like he was in Midtjylland when I was youth player, so he was assistant coach. So I trained sometimes with the first squad, yeah. And to come back to like what you grow up with was also a little bit special for me. And yeah, of course, it's very nice to have that Danish stuff here. So I would say.
So you basically did feel some domestic way of training that you already know from your youth experience.
I think also in Europe, I think you train pretty much similar, like all over in the Europe. I think it's similar, but of course there's still some parts there's difference. But yeah, it's like I would say the training is set up like I would say like Danish coaches would do. A lot of Danish coaches would do. So
is Brian and his staff special in any kind of way, if you could compare it to other Danish coaches and or international ones?
Also in terms of Danish coaches, it's difficult because I've really only been in FC Nordsjælland like most of my career, the 6.5 years, and the way they do things is very unique, I think. So I don't really know a lot about other Danish coaches. Yeah, so I think for me it's a bit difficult to say, but in terms of the coaches I've had in AZ and in Germany, it's, I think especially my time in Germany was different. The first coach got fired quite quickly, and then we had Dieter Hecking, who's, you know, he's been around for some time, but I still think he adapted quite well to the way football is being played now. So that was quite different, but still good, I think.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like we are knocking on the door of the locker room. Yeah. So could you take us for a while in to the locker room? What is the atmosphere right now in the club? In the team?
Atmosphere is good. Of course, it's nice to get a win before the national break.
Yeah.
But also, of course, we also miss some players. So we're waiting till they come back. And then we will start to prepare and fully focus on the Slin home game. But until when we came back here, there was joy. We had a good training session. So a good atmosphere, yes.
Are you guys like a one whole group? Or are the Danish players, for example, I saw you two coming here together more friendlier than you are with the Czech players. So how does the chemistry work?
Because I don't think we're more friendly, but of course you talk in a bit different way than some of the other guys. And I think it's quite natural that I think in every club you have groups, you have the young players, you have the foreigners, and you have the domestic players and all these kind of things. But I think in general we're a good group and everybody talks to each other and yeah, everybody does quite well with each other. But of course there will always be some kind of groups in a bigger group.
Yes, I think the Czech players here are very good to like take the foreigner in. I think they are doing a lot to like help us to feel good, and they want to talk to us. So. So I think they are doing it very good, the Czech players here. So it have been easy for me back then, 1 year, 1.5 years ago. And I think for you also have been easy to come into the group. So that's very nice.
Yeah. And I think it's even more difficult in here than for me and at AZ and Asker in Germany, because the language barrier is not that big in Germany and the Netherlands. Like I understood more or less all they said, and I know he speaks fluent German, so we still understood what was being said in the locker room. Now it's quite different languages, so it's difficult to really understand anything. But they've been really good at taking us in and like including us, I think. I can only talk for myself. Yeah.
But what I actually we got from your answers is like Brian and his staff and Rosa and others created a culture that's easy to adapt in. And actually it's really friendly, so it's like not divided between foreigners and Czechs. They try to get you in if you're like, and they believe you, they try to help you, right?
Yes, of course it's easier because everything is in English when we are like when we are training or we are seeing some video or stuff like this, then everybody have to talk speak English. It's more like when we are only the players because we also have only the player group, and sometimes the Czech, which is normal, they talk Czech, and then we don't even like honestly we don't even understand one word. so sometimes it's also. Because it's also, we can also look like a little bit stupid if we always, what you said that, you don't get the, like, if there is a humor, a joke or something like that, it's dead then. Because if you want to join in. So there, of course, there is some difficulties, but I think in general, it's, we manage it quite well.
Yeah. And what about the basic football instructions? Do you know that, like, levá, pravá, záda and back and, you know?
Yes, I know it a little bit. I'm not sure you know them all.
No, but I've been saying that also when if people have asked me, like, I always want to keep it in English because, yeah, then let's say if I knew it in Czech, then I could say it, but it would still only be the Czech players who knew what I said. We still have a lot of other foreigners, so I like to always keep it in English so everybody understands what's being said.
So it helps you with the communication on the pitch, and for you especially, it's quite important, right? So
everybody understands. I think it's really important that everybody understands that it's clear and simple instructions. Yeah.
We already spoke about Brian. How about Lars and Christian, the other two Danish staff, if you... I don't know if Christian worked at Midtjylland, if you've been a youth player, so how these two help you with your progress on a daily basis?
I worked with both Lars and Christian when I was in Midtjylland. Christian was working at the academy, Lars also, so he was like my academy coach. So I know them pretty well, but also nice that they were here or that Lars came. I think they are doing a great job. You can see what Christian have done with the team. I think we play with I don't know how it was before because that many Sparta games I didn't before I came here. So, but I think we play with physically toughness and intensity. What Brian also want. So that's also a credit to Christian. And as I said, Lars, I just mentioned it when we were outside. Lars is very, he's a good motivator, I think, for me. He's like, he's looking into the details, but he's also telling us, like, be focused every pass or every touch and stuff like this.
I also feel like you can feel he's been a head coach.
Yes.
At least when I look at the other assistant coaches I've had, like, I think you can feel with Lars that he's been a head coach. So for me, I think he's a little different than some of the other guys that I've had, but of course in a good way. But yeah, I think you can feel that sometimes it's not always, you know, a head coach, assistant coach. Sometimes it's two head coaches. So yeah, I think as a group they've done really well.
One more question.
Yeah, sure.
When Lars has been. For an interview here on our podcast, he always mentions fans and how he is passionate, how he always cares about the warm up. You always come here as a first on the warm up. Is it for you really important so the fans come like 40 minutes before the game, they cheer you on and so on? Does it make a difference?
Yeah, for sure. It's always nice coming out for warm up and you're the first guys on the pitch. And yeah, seeing the fans there is always amazing. And yeah, I think I felt it a little bit in Rangers when I came out to the warm-up. I expected to be 40,000-50,000, but there was quiet. Honestly, it was quiet in the stadium. And then, of course, they were there when the game started. But yeah, I think it's really nice to coming onto the pitch at Letna and the fans are there and they start singing when you come out. And yeah, from minute one, you're ready to go.
I think the sold-out Letná Stadium always cheers up pretty well.
Yeah.
And I think it's something different. Like years before, it was...
Hasn't been always like that. Yeah. Brian and you guys helped to create this, actually.
I think the coronavirus break helps a lot because we couldn't enjoy the matches. Now we did.
Now people really care about that. Especially I can... And you guys have felt it too, especially the home gig against Copenhagen. It's one of the best atmospheres we've ever had at Litna.
That was impressive. Mm. That was really impressive.
I spoke with one co-main player afterwards, and he said, "Oh, what the hell was that? I feel like I was drunk the day before, and I just woke up, and it was really, really amazing." Yeah.
Yeah, as you said at Ibrox, I've been there and away end, and we are quite disappointed because we were cheering the whole 90 minutes. And almost all the Scottish guys were quiet. There was the small ultra section. And like when all of them cheered, for example, when they scored a goal,
then it's
like a thunderstorm.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Then it's amazing. But like they do it like 3 or 4 times a match. Yeah. So it's for me, when you go to Letna or go to the Czech League, it's quite, or you've both played in Germany. It's, like a 2 levels down.
Yeah, it's a little bit different how they singing in. Yeah, here in Czech, also in Germany. In England, I think it's, England, Scotland, it's more like, no ultras, but then sometimes the old stage. You know,
Different culture, yeah.
Yes,
we enjoy it. Yes. We definitely enjoy it. And I think the whole Czech league has a tendency to grow up a little bit right now. I think good times are coming, hopefully.
Good times. Yeah. You guys could compare it for you. You've played in the Netherlands. And you spent quite a time in Germany. Could you compare these 3 leagues when it comes to the atmosphere?
Yeah, I think... Yeah, it's a good question. I think Netherlands was actually quite good. It was not all the stadiums that were that big, but there's 18 million people living in quite a small country. So a lot of guys are going to watch some football and... Mm. Yeah, I think in general the atmosphere is quite good. I know at the moment they are struggling a bit with fans going over the limit and attacking each other and all these kind of stupid things. But yeah, I think in general the atmosphere was quite good.
Yes. And Germany?
Germany is special because it's everywhere you go, it's like nearly a full stadium. So in that way, it's in Germany, they're also football crazy. So it nearly doesn't matter. Then you have, if there's only 10, but then there's 10.
Yeah, it's 40k in Dynamo, all by Dritte Liga, and it doesn't make sense for us.
Yeah, like, it makes sense.
It's like, crazy, yeah.
And Russ actually told us that, or he said in the interview that he scouted you on the friendly. I think that you played against Arsenal before the game. It was like the last game that convinced him for you to sign you up. Okay, guys, we said the Sparta is quite a diverse group. What do you do for team building, if I would say it in corporate speech?
Sure, is that?
Like
last year, we did quite a lot. I think we were out eating, we were playing paintball and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now we didn't have the time because we are playing every third day. So this half a season was a bit different, otherwise, we are doing like these where we are eating a little bit and doing, and I saw you wrote casino in there. So we played also casino here. I think it was 1 week ago or something like this.
But you have to explain it like they set you up for you at the straw. You don't actually go to the casino, right?
No. It was like, and it was not. It was like not real money. Uh-huh. So yeah. Just there was some tables with poker, blackjack, and roulette, and then we just like. Played for fun. Then we had some
prizes.
And the guy with the most of these fake money won a prison. Small
who
prize.
Won?
Like, I think it was Stratz actually. And he won a flight for 250 euros.
He won for best costume.
Costume.
Yeah, I think Wiesner
was winning.
Did you guys enjoy the blackjack or some stuff?
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
We were 2 hours on the blackjack.
Yes. But as you said, it's difficult to really do a lot when you have all these games.
I think it was 24 games, right?
Actually,
until this point.
Until now, 24?
24.
Good amount of games.
Yes, 24 so or 25, I think that Brian said at the press conference at the cup match. I think both didn't play. It was 23 games back then. So 25, Rangers, then Baník.
Which is crazy.
Yeah,
it's
crazy.
It's mid-November and you still see all the matches in front of you. Both of the competitions.
So it guys actually helps you because we've seen, for example, I think it was Gavi that got injured during the international break. That like
the ACL,
it takes the toll on your body in the end.
For sure.
So apart from the team building, what do you guys do in a free time? If you don't
care about football. Yeah, but again, like when you play all these games, it's difficult to
find a time.
Really do a lot. I think we talked about like just having dinner, like just us and the girls. But even that has been difficult to really find time and energy to do, because you also gotta relax, you also gotta recover, and yeah. But I think in general, you know, I live quite downtown. So yeah, we just like to walk around in the city. We have a small dog, and you know, you gotta get out. So yeah, I think we've just been enjoying the city and see what it has to offer.
Yeah, to relax a little bit, because the schedule is quite tough. And we also remember the match against Baňka Ostrava, which was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
not even two weeks ago. We defeated them 1-0, which is quite good, but it wasn't the most easy peasy win of the season, right?
No, not really. I think it was the toughest game for us this season. Yeah. Like it was the most difficult. We also were just talked about it. We also were a little bit lucky. I think Ostrava played a good game, and yeah, for us first half very difficult. We couldn't set our play, like our build up or something like this. So it was actually just about defending, I think.
Yeah.
Nearly for 90 minutes. Yeah. I think second half we created some counterattacks, or we got a little bit more set pieces. We were a little bit more dangerous than first half. I don't remember anything. We got a penalty.
Yeah.
But it was offside.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise,
Zali. Yeah.
I remember that you made some crucial saves.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you showed up.
It's already well. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's always strange to talk about your performance like this, but
yeah,
I mean, at the end of the day, that's the job. That's to stop the ball from going in. But yeah, this game was, I think the whole team was tired mentally, physically. We just played Rangers a few days before, and I think we had half a day at home, and then we met in the next day and had to go
to Ostrava,
5 hours away. Country. So yeah, it was a lot of traveling. Yeah. But at the end of the day we won 1-0, and
that's what counts.
It is.
There's a special rivalry between Baník and Sparta. I think it was felt and understand that like they really hate Sparta, they really hate us. Have you felt it the same on the pitch, that the guys from the home team really tried to show up?
I think there was a few free kicks that could have had maybe a different color, or just a card in general, because they were definitely tough on us.
Okay, what else? You talked about a Rangers game. I've been there, unlucky loss. What happened there? Was it the atmosphere? Was it the flight? If you, I know that's it's quite difficult to talk about the performances. If you could give us a brief summary of this.
Yeah. Now you said we lost unluckily. I'm not sure, because I think it was not a good game for us. We didn't play it like that good, and then we didn't came out to the start of the game, and we made some mistakes, and then suddenly you're 2-0 down, and then it's gonna be difficult in Europe. In Europe, you really have to play at your highest level, otherwise they will punish you. And we filled it in Betis the same way. Actually, we played a very, very good first half. Mm. But yeah, again, it's like small details and they will punish us. So it's Europe is a little bit different, I think, in that way sometimes.
Yeah. And I think we actually played a quite good second half. Yes. But yeah, as you said, when you don't show up for 30, 40 minutes, then it's difficult to win a game. And yeah, you cannot really expect being 2-0 down and score twice. Of course, we aim for that, and we always go for the win. But but when you're 2-0 down at halftime, then you haven't made it easy for yourself.
We talked about it also a bit before the podcast. Was about the ball boys, because I was really mad at them and the way it went. And I've actually never seen that they refused to give ball to the goalkeeper. It's like unfair.
No, and he literally threw the ball away when I came to him. So Yeah, I think it's, for me, it's very clear. It was very disrespectful. I did nothing to provoke this, and yeah, they have one job, and that's to provide the balls. And if you're not able to do that, then you shouldn't be at the game.
I believe you guys wouldn't do that as well if you've been ball boys in Denmark, right?
Never done that.
Any Wasger?
No, I think maybe I was one time, but it's a long time ago.
It's a tradition in Czech Republic. Yeah. All the U14s, U15s,
they do a ball boy, so you can taste the atmosphere and everything.
Yeah, I think for a lot of fans, it was maybe the worst first half performance for a long, long time.
Maybe, from the derby last autumn.
Yeah. I think
it was the lowest point of the season so far.
But never mind, we showed up pretty well in the second half, yeah, and it wasn't that that far to score the second to equalize the game. Maybe next time.
Maybe it's also a little bit with experience to do, because if we're really clinical, we make the 2-2, I think.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, but it's also in the other end, if we're very clinical, then we maybe only keep them, I don't know, score once or zero, but it's also a little bit like this experience you have in Europe. I don't know how many guys from the team, I know they played for 2 or 3 years ago, but I don't know how many guys.
Yeah, we talked about it the other day, and it was really only a few guys who've been playing group stage
in Europe. So
I think it's less than 100 appearances in total for the whole squad. Yeah.
Yes. So for me, it's also the first time, and yeah, it's a little bit different.
You grow with every single match, right? Mm. We've showed that we talked about this. We've beaten the Limassol at home. Yeah. We should have got Rangers at home, I think.
Yeah. Yes,
for sure.
You can also turn it around and say that game we should have won because we should have lead 1 or 2-0 in the break for sure.
Yeah.
I think it was only the last 20-25 minutes they came a little bit more in.
But at that point we should have scored 2 or 3 goals.
Yes.
So. 10 shots on the goal.
If we have 3 points from the home game, it's also okay. That's a different
situation. But all the hope is not lost. We play next. What do you guys expect now? The game is going to be really different because of the weather. I heard from my friends who's been in Spain, it's been really hot in Sevilla. What else is going to be different?
I think, I don't know what's really going to be different. Of course, we have the fans now and we have their support. And I think this season we showed what we can do at home. But I think when you just hear you're gonna play Betis, maybe you think, oh, this is a really good team. They finished top six in, I don't know, 5 years in a row or something like that in Spain. But I think we just have to, you know, remember the game we played away, because there was a lot of good things there, and I think that we can be maybe even more dominant throughout the whole game at home. So I think everyone in the team believes that we can beat these guys.
What do you think, Asger?
Yes, I think so too. I think everyone really believe, like at home, we can win this game. But we also know that the quality of the Betis players is very good. So we have to be sharp. We have to be ready for 90 minutes. But then I think we also have a good chance to win this game.
Yeah, I think so. It's quite a different style of football, what Betis showed us, and I think we have a recipe for them, what we can do, and I think it would be successful if we won't make any mistake. Yeah, it's always this question.
Yes, it's always.
Yeah,
football is always easy. Mm. Yeah,
if you make no mistakes
from outside, then it's always just do that and then 3-0. There you go.
Yeah, for me, just one question: what I saw on the TV. For me, the away game at Spain was maybe the only game under Brian that I felt in like last 20-30 minutes. You guys seemed tired on the pitch. Was it due to the weather? Or was it that they literally switched up with all the substitutions? They had like new fresh players. Or what happened there? I just wonder if it's
fair. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But I think you can
make yes, I think of course the weather played a role, because it was like really hot. I think 35 degrees, and it was a tough one. But it's also like both, I think Betis also got more into the game. They did more in the second half than they did in the first half, I think. Because I think the first half, they were like passive. They didn't really like stress us. Or something.
No, I don't know if they underestimated us.
No, maybe. So they went a bit higher on us also. And we got a little bit, we have more ball losses. And then we have to run after the ball more. And then it was also, it's got maybe harder for us. So maybe it's like a combination of the weather, but also like, I think Betis also switched it a little bit. Like, it's difficult to say, but
Yeah, it was quite visible that they have changed their approach to the second half.
Yes.
Maybe even tactically.
Yes.
Yeah. Higher pressing, you know.
Yes.
All right. Okay, guys, we are now talking about the Europa League, basically. But the ultimate goal for us, and for maybe you too, is the Champions League. Would you dream about it for next season?
I think. Big dream, yes. Yeah.
I think we also failed it this season. There was really a chance to get in the Champions League this season. And yeah, unfortunately, we didn't get it. But yeah, it starts with winning the title, and I've never won anything before, so for me that's a big motivation to win my first title, and yeah, hopefully profit from that and get in the Champions League would be amazing, but yeah, it starts with winning the title.
We have to go step by step because we have no chance to go from the second place in as the runner-up. Maybe in the future, but not this season. So
not this season?
No.
Okay.
In the future, it's maybe possible to the coefficient.
Yeah, I wrote something about the second place in Czech. We'll get a Champions League spot.
Not this season.
But we will make a huge step to the 13th place, I think.
I think we're 13th now.
Yeah. So there will
be a fighting with Denmark.
Above Denmark.
So we will need more goal to Slavia from you, Oscar, to win the title. Does it help you in a long run, these like Europa League games, these tough games in Europe? So assume we win the title next summer. It helps you. It grows on you. So next time, like we get drawn against Copenhagen or somewhere else, you will remember this and you will try to make, and you will have experience that helps you be better on the pitch.
I think it would help to have this experience, what we had this this year. Yeah, for sure. It's good to play these games because it's so small details who is deciding these games, I think. Against Copenhagen, it was also the same. Normally, if they are a little bit sharper, they win the first game. If we're a little bit sharper, we win the second game. But then it ends up in draw and penalty, and that's also small details. I think
even few centimeters to hit the bar.
Yes. Or I don't know. For them, they also, there was like, I think, 4 out of 5 or 3 out of 4fresh players who took the penalty. Maybe we also should think about that maybe next time or learn about that. So that's small things what you learn. I don't say it make it the difference, but you can learn some things about these small things.
The penalties are always quite a lottery.
What do you think, Peter?
I think in general it helps. Not only looking at the specific games, but also just knowing how it is to play Europe, knowing how it is to play a lot of games in a short period of time. Because, as Eska said, it is, I think at least this season, it has been a lot about details in Europe. And maybe if you're more experienced, maybe you can get these details on your side. At least it's always good to have some experience, especially with Europe, because I think it is a lot different from just playing one game every week. Hopefully you can benefit from it.
But it's also so nice. You go to Sevilla, play for 45,000, then you go to Glasgow and play for 50,000.
Don't get me wrong. It's so nice. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
It's
amazing. Yeah. It is.
Even though we talked about tiredness, you guys enjoy this more than playing just one game per week?
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No boring training.
I think everyone wants to like play games instead of training.
I think sometimes I miss out on a normal training week. Uh-huh. I think because sometimes it's nice to have these uh-huh. intense trainings.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it's difficult to really have a lot of intense trainings when you yeah. play two games a week, because the games is the most important thing, and you have to be ready for that.
I have one question regarding the training. When you came first to Sparta, I saw that you were boxing away a lot of balls, but now you try to actually keep them, try to lay down with them, you know, way more calmer. Did Dan Zítka and Martin Ticháček help you with this, or what has changed with your training?
I mean, in general, they have focused a lot on catching the balls, but I also think that's also mental, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of the things you do in the games is it's not something that you don't do in training. But making that decision in the game, it's just a whole different experience yeah. than doing in training. So yeah, I think with time I've been more confident, and I think that's helped me catching the balls, whatever what you want to call it. But yeah, I think I'm more calm now than in the beginning, and yeah, hopefully that shows.
How about you, Asgar, after a year and a half? What has changed with you now?
Yeah, as Peter also said, I think in the beginning it's like natural. You also have to get into the team to find your place, your role, and then you can grow slowly. It was the same for me. I also, in the start, just played really simple. Just I didn't do anything. If I have to kick the ball out of the tribune, I did that. And then maybe you can find some better passes up to the strikers or to the midfielders slowly, how you get into the team, because it's also difficult to come to a completely new team, new culture, new language. And then if you want to conquer the whole world time, it's also difficult. Yeah. So I think it's pretty much the same as Peter. You have to naturally just get into the team and to the place where you are.
I think the self-confidence comes with the time, and you have to experience the good things with the team. And I think what helps you a lot was when Kan Kairinen come, that you have a creative midfielder in front of you, because he gave us some kind of stability in the build-up, I think. And the guy to rely on, I think. It was something what has changed a lot in the January when he came.
Yes, for sure. Kan is a good player. And he is doing very, very good. So for sure, he helped us, helped the team, like the last year, but also this year. So we have a lot of good players. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
calm on the ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you can also play well with the ball, right? Yeah. Like I think when it comes to the Czech league, Peter is the best goalkeeper for the build up for sure. So maybe not many fans know this. How is it that you are so good with your feet?
I think, especially in Denmark, the club FC Nordsjælland, they really focus on the keeper being part of the build-up. And yeah, when you're there for 6.5 years, of course, you come around playing with the feet quite a lot. And yeah, I think that's probably where I really learned how to do it. Of course, in AZ, they also wanted to play, not as much, but still wanted to play, and yeah, I mean, I like it. I like being part of the build up. I think it's fun. It's fun to have the ball, and yeah, that's probably also why I'm pretty good at it. It doesn't really stress me out.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I think the playing style here fits me really well. Yeah,
a modern goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Was absolutely. Manuel Neuer, when you were younger, your idol as an original sweeper keeper, or someone else?
No, I mean
Schmeichel.
No. No, I mean
not even Peter.
Not even Peter Schmeichel.
I don't remember him that much. I'm not that old, not yet. But I don't think I really had one keeper where I'm like, I want to be like you.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've looked at a lot of keepers and seen what they're really good at, and then some other keeper have one thing that they're really good at, and then I've think taken from like all the keepers. I think I've taken the inspiration. But I think I look more at Ter Stegen and Ederson than I look at Neuer.
Oh. How about you, Oscar?
I'm also not watching like one specific player. Uh-huh. Like I want to play exactly like this, but I like to watch football. I like to see every club, like everything. When City plays, a pleasure. When Liverpool plays, a pleasure. When Arsenal plays, a pleasure. Real Madrid, mm. Barcelona, it doesn't really matter.
So many good players.
Many, many good players, mm. yes. Mm.
So guys, I think Tomáš Rosický, our sporting director, had a significant role when you came in. What is your relationship to him? Is it any special, or do you remember as he scouted you?
Yeah, I think I knew about the interest from Sparta already a few years ago, and it never became very specific. But I know that I knew that they were looking and. And stuff like that, but I never talked to anyone. So I never really talked to Rosa before mm-hmm. this summer. But yeah, I mean, I think as a goalkeeper, it's probably more the goalkeeper coach who mm-hmm. scouts you. At least that's also so what he said. But of course, I talked with Rosa and had some good talks with him and mm-hmm. about. His plans and what he sees in me and all these kind of things. And yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. he's a guy with quite a good career. And,
For us, it's a legend.
Yeah. I understand, but yeah, when you talk to him, he's nice guy, mm-hmm. down to earth and, likes to joke around and stuff like that. So yeah, he's a really good guy.
Mm. Did he present to you any kind of vision or maybe the plans for the future with the club? Maybe you might be a part of something bigger than what we currently see.
For me, not really that long term. I know that Sparta mm. and I've heard from different guys that they really want to invest a bit more and want to do things a certain way and all these kind of things. I think for me it was more personal mm-hmm. In terms of me and in terms of what they expect from me and mm-hmm. and what I can expect from them. So not really long term about the club. Mm-hmm. It was more specific towards me.
The reason why I'm asking is because maybe we will try to make your deal a permanent one in the future. I think there is an option for you from the club. So that's the reason why I'm asking.
Yeah, and when you say it like that, then I mean there's an option, and as it is now, I'm open. I like being here. My girlfriend likes being here, and we're doing good. We're winning a lot of games, so right now it's difficult to really say anything negative. Yeah. But as you also saw this summer, a lot can happen in football, mm-hmm. and I know the plan was for that Kova had to stay another year. But in football, things can change very quickly. But as it is now, I'm open to to mm-hmm. stay. But you never know.
But Rosa said that he spoke really highly of you. That even though there was a situation with Matěj Kovář, that you were still really keen to join. And he really admired your patience and everything in the process. So I don't know if like everybody knows that, but he really liked that on you, that you were looking to join the Sparta, right?
Yeah, and I was not in doubt. Like when I heard about Sparta, I thought that was the perfect option for me at that time in my career. And I think that's also showed to be the right choice so far.
Mm.
Again. Happy to be here, let's see what the future brings.
You, Asger, I think Rosa said he scouted you for 3 or more years in the second Bundesliga. How's been your transfer? Because your transfer was last minute when Celda got injured.
Yes, it was also, I heard it first when I came about the interest they had for a longer time. So it was first when I came, they said, we have watching you for a long time. Yes, for me it came very, very fast. It was like I talked to Rosa one day and Brian the other day, and then it was suddenly you go to Prague. so it was very, very, very fast. Yes, I think also I wanted in that point of my career, I wanted to try something else than second Bundesliga. I was going into my sixth year in the second league. Mm. So it was nice that this option came to come here to a team who's winning a lot of game, who's playing in the top of the Czech league. So it was for me a very, very, very nice opportunity.
Last season you've been voted also the best international player of the Czech league. Yes. Am I right?
Yes.
Could you imagine that before going here?
No. Absolutely not. Normally, I think every time it's a striker who will get this scoring goals or something like this. So absolutely not. Even with the best defender, I have not expected that at all. So, but I also don't know how many expected us to winning the title last year, because with the season start and new coach, a lot of new players, who expected us to win? I don't think it was a lot.
Mm.
Also, during your stay here so far, you've scored quite a lot of important goals against Dynamo this year, the derby, the deciding one last year.
Yes.
Is it something that also grew on you over the time, or is it Luka that helps you with the set pieces, or is it a combination of both?
Yes, of course. Luka or Lubos, he like give us the structure. We have some rules, is maybe hard to say rules, but he gives like this structure and a plan for how we do the set pieces, the corners, the free kicks, the throw-ins, and then we are trying to fill this out. So we also see now Pani scored the winning goal against Ostrava. Vichas have scored twice, I think.
Jablonec.
Yes, he also scored a game, I think.
Against Aris.
Yes, against Aris.
Credo is very dangerous on the set pieces. So we have a lot of weapons there. So it's maybe also that why it's maybe a little bit easier for me, because we have a lot of good headers.
Even the goal scored one more. Against game.
Saka?
The one where you scored and then you had another big one. I think it was in the league.
Ah, yeah, that was against Budovic. I scored on not the biggest chance I had.
Yeah,
I think.
No,
that's right.
Even the coach of Aris joked that we are like a basketball player's squad, something like that. So it's crazy. But the Panis header was awesome. Yeah, the hang time.
Yeah,
amazing.
And if you saw it from the video, it's like the perfect corner. You have like the one player that goes in the air and scores the perfect header.
And also that you have to give credit to the takers.
Yeah, sure.
It's very difficult to go out to take a corner. I think a lot of people think it's so easy, but it's not.
What did you want to say?
Yeah, it was just like from where I stood against Pani, you could just see, okay, it's a good ball. And then you saw Pani in the air and you're like, okay, now it's just a question if he scores or not.
Khan and Birma helps you both with great corners, right? I remember like they may be the best corner takers since Dočky
or Matias. I think so, yeah. A lot of good corners, a lot of good crossings. Yeah.
Yes.
Helps you out. Okay, Asger, during the preparation, I read one of the interviews you did for the Nürnberg, and you said that the playstyle of the Czech league is quite similar to the second Bundesliga. Could you explain it a bit further?
Yes, I think it's always difficult to compare leagues from country to country, but I think it's like physical league, but I think there's a lot of league that's physically. So that was actually in that aspect, I mean, like it's physically a lot of running, a lot of duels in the Czech league, but that's pretty much the same in the second Bundesliga. Because I think if you see at the league, I think here in Czech you have like three teams, they are very good, then the rest still good, no disrespect, every game is difficult, but you have like this top and the bottom. Yes,
yeah.
In Germany, second league, you don't have it. You don't have a top team and a bottom team, because bottom team can beat top teams.
I remember the 2021 season where I think 10 of the teams were battling for the relegation and also the top places, you know.
So that's the difference thing. I think there is like it's so close and even in second league, and here's maybe a bigger gap or
you see Schalke and Hertha, how they struggle.
Yes.
And they relegated.
Yeah. Hamburg.
They try to go up.
Six or seven years.
Yes, it's difficult.
And they always fuck up.
Always fuck up the promotion.
last season was crazy.
It was against Stuttgart, right?
No, but last season they
almost
before
got
the
it.
Playoff
before they played the last game.
Yeah,
they thought they were up.
They thought they promoted.
Oh yes,
they
I
ran
saw
on
it.
The pitch.
Yeah,
the fan
and then Heidenheim scored the two goals.
Yes.
Crazy.
Poor guys. Like I can't imagine the players.
No,
like
no.
How crushed you have to be. Peter, how about Eredivisie? You've played there.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to say that that's the best league I've played in.
Mm.
They are fighting against France currently at the fifth best league in the world, or at least in Europe. So yeah, of course that's a very good league, and I played at a good team, and I think the league in general was better than I actually expected. Because I think in Denmark you've been saying that the Netherlands, like the top teams are very good, but the bottom teams are maybe not so good.
Mm.
I think in general the league was quite good. Mm. It's more technical.
Mm.
It's a little bit different kind of football. But yeah, the level is really good. It is.
I can imagine that as a goalkeeper you have way too much work in Eredivisie more than here, because here if you face like 1-2 shots you have to catch it, but in Eredivisie you
face way more. Yeah, I think it's also depends on which team you play in. I think especially in the Eredivisie they probably focus more on the attacking players than the defensive players. But yeah, then again here I play in at the best team in Czech, and then of course there probably won't be as many shots as if I played in one of the bottom teams.
Mm.
So that also of course have something to do with it. But yeah, again, as Asker said, it is difficult to compare leagues, but of course the Netherlands they have a really good league.
Just look how Ajax do struggle.
Yeah, but that's also really strange.
Yeah,
what went wrong there? I don't know. Mm. I think it's more. I don't think it has a lot to do with the coaches. I think it's more
about the management.
You can't really do anything as a player or as a coach there if you have a situation that the management is struggling. Like,
I mean, of course, they haven't made it more easy. I think they've
basically to be a Man United player.
Yeah.
Or Chelsea player nowadays.
Oh man, not Chelsea. Yeah. I'm a huge fan, so.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, we are both up. We want to hear also from the international players, what does for your daily routine Tomáš Sivok play as a role? Why are you laughing?
It's because Sivi, he likes to play games, yes.
Uh-huh.
And every game, it's like Rogers is a paper, doesn't matter if he's winning, he's like celebrating like crazy.
So he's really competitive.
Very competitive.
No matter what it is, he's the best.
Yes, no matter what. Oh, now I won against you again, I'm the best. he's very good for the how do you say
it's like this community, togetherness. Like
togetherness and to feel good, feel happy. But he also, I think, because he tried. He was a player in a high level and he tried like everything before. He's also good to talk with about the situations and stuff like this. Also for me, he was also a central defender. So I also talk a lot of things with him, like also what's going on in the team or about this game. Could you do anything different? Or I think he have a good role in the team. It's a nice role.
Yeah, and I think at least that's the feeling I have, that even though he's like Rosa's like right hand, like you can still say, you can speak freely to him, you can say more or less whatever, and then you know he won't just say everything you've said to Rosa or anyone else. Like, of course he maybe talk about like what you feel and stuff like that, but he's still like your guy, or what you can say. So yeah, I think people trust him and they trust that he can help you. And yeah, then I think it's good to have like this, what is it, like glue or binding between the management and the squad.
If he come in this podcast, you have to ask about basket. We have a small basket where we play in the gym. So you have to ask.
Okay,
we will definitely beat.
For me, you are maybe the only center back in the world that's calm. like Kreida, but no, Pani is not a Skull. But Kreida is
also Koma, I would say.
Yeah, it's he shouldn't get too much praise, but put people sometimes in a box and like you have to do this and you have to be here and all of these kind of things.
Yes.
How tough was for you, Asgard, to see Tomáš Chory from Plzeň to leave the pitch without receiving even a single yellow card in past four games against Sparta against Plzeň?